It was raining Monday afternoon, but fans showed up with umbrellas to watch professional soccer players aim for a soccer goal across Brush Creek in the plaza. Keith Odell works at Whiteman Air Force Base. He and his four-year-old son, Aiden, watched from under a bridge since they didn't carry an umbrella.
I'm also not smart enough to look at the forecast ahead of time, and we just kind of planned on coming out here, figured we could maybe meet some players, see him kick the ball across the river, and have a good time.
All right, fans, it's time for the second half here at Arrowhead. Make some noise right now.
This is what it sounded like when the team played in Arrowhead Stadium, the home of the Kansas City Chiefs. Even if a crowd reached more than 10,000, the noise got lost in a cavernous stadium that seats more than 70,000. When Kansas City, then known as the Wizards, won the MLS championship at DC United in 2000, no one seemed to notice, even when the city was starving for a winner. The Chiefs haven't won a playoff game since the brief Joe Montana era in 1993, and the Kansas City Royals haven't reached postseason since their 1985 World Series championship. But Kerry Zavagnin, an assistant coach with Sporting KC, who played on that 2000 team, sensed a modicum of progress.
You know, if we were on page 12 of the sports section week in and week out, maybe we made it to page 6, you know. So we felt like that was progress. And we had a group of fans that greeted us when we came back from D.C., and it was all we knew at the time.
The franchise's first owner was the late Lamar Hunt, who also owned the Chiefs. He envisioned a soccer-specific stadium, but didn't live long enough to see it become reality. That dream was fulfilled by a group of six owners whose ambitions caught the attention of Major League Soccer Commissioner Don Garber. He cites the Kansas City area as one of the great sports turnarounds in the history of soccer in America.
From the very beginning, they wanted to build a state-of-the-art facility, and Sporting Park is just that. It's, you know, one of the real great stadiums in our country, but also anywhere in the world.
But it wasn't just the construction of Sporting Park that mushroomed Kansas City into a soccer hotbed. Quality youth fields sprung up in the area, with more on the horizon and a yet-to-be-fulfilled promise by the sporting owners close to their home stadium. Matt Beasler, who grew up in Overland Park and a defender for Sporting Kansas City, recalls what it was like in the youth leagues.
We used to bounce around. It felt like every season we were on a different field, and the quality of fields weren't very good, but somehow we made it work, and that's all changed today.
Beasler earned his second nod as an All-Star, but this one is special since it's home.
It means everything. It's such an honor to be named an All-Star, but I think it's a huge honor for the city to host this game, and our city definitely deserves it.
What is happening in Kansas City, however, is part of a bigger picture through the eyes of the owners of Sporting Kansas City. Rob Heineman, one of the owners, says the first goal is for Sporting to consistently win championships. And the other?
You know, we want to win the World Cup. And I think there's a responsibility for all of us as Major League Soccer owners to build as good of a youth development program as we can to help achieve, you know, that goal.
Meanwhile, fans like four-year-old Aiden Odell will continue their chant from the stands, including this one when pulling for Sporting goalie Jimmy Nielsen.
Oh, you can't beat Jimmy Nielsen with that stuff. Oh, you can't beat Jimmy Nielsen with that stuff. Oh, you can't beat Jimmy Nielsen. You can't beat Jimmy Nielsen. You can't beat Jimmy Nielsen with that stuff.
Greg Eklund, KCUR News.